You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Amen. You expected God to do something this weekend? I sure am. Thankful for what I feel already. I know God's going to continue to do great things, and I believe it's going to happen tonight. We're so blessed to have with us tonight Neil and Josie Carroll, and they serve at the Pentecostals of Miramichi as student pastors, and they've been serving there for the past 7 years. They also serve as sectional representatives for our Landed District Youth, and it doesn't take a long time to be around this couple that you can notice that they have such a passion and a desire for this generation. It shows with no question. And above all of that, they are awesome parents to their girls, Blakely and Kenna, who they don't seem to know me, but they should. But it's probably because we haven't been around each other very long. And so we're happy that they are with them as well. And Neil, you're a friend, a fellow minister, a first cousin, actually. And I feel like you're a brother as well. It's been so incredible to watch how God has grown you throughout the years and just use you, man. God's doing great things in your life, and we're so honored to have both of you at Mission Point with us this evening and throughout the weekend, Overflow 2024. And we know, of course, it's a sacrifice to leave your local church, but we're sure glad that you consented to be with us tonight. Why don't you come? He's going to minister the word of the Lord to us. And I believe that we're going to be impacted by his ministry this weekend. You believe that? I wonder if you'd lift up your hands right now and receive the man of God as he comes.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. It's an honor to be here this evening and throughout the entirety of this weekend. And I am so appreciative, most of all, of the presence of the Lord that I feel in this place. And I want to let you know that doesn't happen by accident. You don't just walk into a building and all of a sudden feel the presence of God. It takes intention. It takes being direct. It takes young people and adults, people in this world being hungry for a move of God. And I believe that throughout this weekend that we're going to be challenged by the Lord. I've got a message of encouragement for somebody here tonight, and I don't believe it's just someone. I believe that I'm speaking to the vast majority of people here this evening. And throughout the entirety of this weekend, I just want God to have his way. Above all else, I can come and I can get up here and I can spit and sputter a little bit and kind of go through my mojo, but if we don't feel God, then it's all for naught. Amen. I do want to give honor just very quickly. I didn't prepare any nice words for Cody like he did for me. So we're just going to skip over that part. But I do give honor to Cody and Marissa tonight. Thank you so much for inviting us to be here. And we are related by blood, so don't hold that against me. They don't. But we love this couple. And they've got a new baby, 3-4 days old here. So that's, I don't know what he's doing here, but anyway. We want to give honor to the great pastors of this church, too, Brother and Sister Carter. I know that they've been away for the last month, but we love the Carter family so, so much. And I want to give honor as well to my pastor, Peter and Julie Long. I know that they are no stranger to this area of the district. And if you have not met Peter and Julie Long, they are some of the greatest people to ever walk this planet. And I thank them for the voice that they have in my life and in Josie's life and allowing us to be here this weekend. If you want to stand the reading of the word right now, we're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Like I said, I believe that I have a word of encouragement for someone, and I'm encouraged tonight to see different churches from around this section here this evening. I can see St. George. I can see Halfville Point. Is there anyone I'm missing? Scream it out. No, that's fine then. We got St. John, St. George, and St. Halfville Point. That's what we'll call them. I do as well. I want to give honor to Brother and Sister Robertson here in the back. I see him kind of poking in there. This is an amazing couple. We love the Robertsons. He got a bigger applause than you did. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. It says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, that the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which man took and sowed in his field. which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and it becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Faith, young people, it starts as a seed. It starts as something small. Then the Bible tells us it becomes a tree. And my title tonight is very plain and very basic. I've got a friend who told me that when you go out to preach, you need a catchy title, because that's what draws people in from the beginning, and that's what they'll remember. And he and I are quite a bit different. Some of the things he comes out with are memorable. And tonight my topic is so basic, and I want to preach to you on the subject of the tree. But before we leave this evening, I believe that we're going to be encouraged from the Word of God. I believe that God is going to speak to not only young people, but hyphens, adults that have gathered. I want to let you know it's not by accident that you're here in this service tonight. God has foreordained what is about to take place. And I wonder if, just one more time, if we could set our Bibles down, if we could just give our attention to heaven right now. Why don't we just raise our hands and close our eyes? Jesus, oh God, all we desire in this place, Lord, is that your presence would be felt, that God, you would minister, Lord. I pray, God, your anointing would rest upon me. I pray, Lord Jesus, for this congregation right now, that you would rest upon the ears of every person. Help us, mighty Jesus, to be hearers, but also doers of the word tonight. Every time we come into your presence, God, it's our desire, Lord, that we would lead different than we walked in. And we're praying right now, Lord God, that your spirit, mighty Jesus, would begin to minister. We are so thankful, Lord God, for what you're doing. And we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's right. You can be seated. Throughout Scripture, we see a lot of reference to the people of faith being compared to something. In the book of John, you can read and you'll find that the people of faith are compared to sheep. In the book of Matthew, you'll read and you'll find that the people of faith are compared to goats. And Curry, you'll like this one tonight. You read through the book of Isaiah and you will find that the people of faith are compared to donkeys. The people of faith have been compared to a lot of different things throughout Scripture. But there's this theme tonight of the people of faith being compared to a tree that sticks out to me. The Bible talks a lot about trees. In the very first book of the Bible, Genesis tells us that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and there was the tree of life. And then again, we read in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, about this tree of life. The Bible tells us that the leaves of this tree gave healing to the nations and that this tree produced fruit. Fruit for every season. This tree was a constant production of fruit. It produced 12 different kinds of fruit, one for each month of the year. The tree was never without fruit. This tree had always had fruit. It was the tree of life. And then in the book of Ezekiel, we read in chapter 47 about Ezekiel's temple. And verse 6 says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? And then he brought me, and he caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other." Jumping down to verse 12 tonight, it says, "And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all of the trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." And to paint a picture for us here tonight, the water, it flowed down from the mountain and it flowed out from Ezekiel's temple and it flowed down. And the more that the water began to flow, you picture this tonight, the more it began to flow, the wider that the stream that it was creating began to grow. And the more that it flowed, the more the water began to multiply. It reached into desert places. And everywhere that the water touched, the Bible says that it produced trees. Someone say trees tonight. But these were not just regular trees. Because everywhere that the water touched, it produced trees that would always have fruit. Trees that were always bearing fruit for every season, for every month of the year. The fruit of those trees were for meat, and the leaves of those trees were for medicine. The fruit was for meat, which brings forth life, and the leaves were for medicine, which bring forth healing. And so as the water began to flow out of the temple of God, everywhere that the water touched, there was life and there was healing that would begin to spring up from the ground. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And there's somebody in this place that needs to know tonight that a tree planted by the river, it shall not be moved. That tree will never die. A tree planted by the river will always be alive. And that's encouraging to us tonight, because I came to preach to someone that you are the tree. You see, it really doesn't matter what's going on in our world. It doesn't matter what culture might tell us. It doesn't matter what climate we find ourselves in. The constantly changing moral status of the world does not matter, because no matter the drought, no matter the storm, the tree that is planted by the water will live forever because it's connected to the river of life. I can assure you that hard times are going to come in your life. Along your journey with God, in your relationship with God, you're going to experience some frustration. Tragedies are going to come your way. But Paul made a statement in Romans chapter 8 when he said in verse 38 that "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." What was he saying tonight? He was saying that it doesn't matter what comes my way as a child of God. It doesn't matter whether I face hell or high water. It doesn't matter what kind of opposition comes against my family, what kind of scrutiny I get from my peers, because there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. See, I still believe tonight that the promise in Romans 8 and 28, it still applies to those of us that are connected to God. And it says, "We know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." If you're a child of God tonight, that ought to excite you. We need to understand tonight that we are trees. That might sound a little strange, but the Bible compares us to trees. Psalm chapter 92, verse 12, it tells us that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. And he, talking about the righteous, shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Something you need to know about the cedar of Lebanon tonight, and that's that it has deep roots. It has a 1-to-3 ratio, meaning that for every foot it grows up, it grows 3 feet down. For every 10 feet it goes up in the air, young people, it goes 30 feet down into the ground. And a very unique feature about the cedar of Lebanon, on the end of each root, there's this little hair that operates something like a drill bit. And as the cedar of Lebanon begins to grow down, when it comes up against a rock, or when it gets up against a hard place, the cedar of Lebanon that God compares to the righteous does not take the time to go around. It doesn't take the time to tiptoe around whatever trial has come its way, but it goes right through. God said the righteous is like the cedar of Lebanon, and you will be able to break right through your obstruction. That ought to excite us tonight, because if you are connected to God, then you are like the cedar of Lebanon. So when those hard times come, and young people, I can assure you that hard times are going to come, you need to know that God is not going to make you tiptoe around your trial. He's not going to make you go around in circles and try and figure it out by yourself. But as a child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, He has already given you the power to break right through your obstruction. Come on, how many know tonight that God will help you go through things that you can't get over? That's who my God is. Matthew chapter 19 and 26, it says, "But Jesus beheld and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And so I want to speak to a young person right now, and I want to caution you. Don't you dare try and make it in this world all by yourself. Don't you dare go day to day without spending time and building a relationship with God. Don't you dare try to make it without praying. Don't you dare try to make it without reading your Bible. Don't you dare try and make it without your church family, because you need the kingdom of God.
I understand that we live in a broken world. It's a hurting society, and it's perverse, and it's sinful, and all kinds of other things. And for that very reason, the church is needed more than it's ever been needed before. And we need some young people tonight that will pick up that robe that God has given to you and step into the calling that He has for you, because you, as a member of the church, we need you more than we've ever needed you before. We need ministries more than we've ever needed ministries before. We need biblical wisdom, church, more than we've ever needed it before. We need trees more than we've ever needed trees before. Amen. Getting back to our opening text tonight. In this parable, Jesus talks about our faith, and He compares our faith to a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. It's the least of all herbs. Someone say it's the least tonight. Now that's a little confounding to me, because why would Jesus take His greatest creation and compare it to the least? It's because faith always starts small. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So we all have it. In some level and another, we're born with it. We all have a level of faith. It doesn't matter what you claim to be. You can be atheist, you can be agnostic, you can make all these claims in your life, but in some way, somehow, there is a little bit of faith that exists in all of us. And I believe tonight and throughout the entirety of this weekend that God is calling a young person to begin to activate the faith that He has already placed inside of you. Can I tell you tonight that as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, we need faith in our hearts? There comes a point in our lives where we need to stop worrying about every little situation, about everything that's going on in the world around us, and we need to start believing that God is going to take care of it. Because my Jesus is no stranger to adversity. It's not the first problem He's encountered. You look at His ministry here on earth. He walked around with His disciples for 3.5 years, and they didn't walk from situation to situation where there was no problem or no storm or no sickness or no death. But what did they do? They basically just walked from chaos to chaos. He took them from problem to problem. But in all of them, He showed them that I can raise them up and I can open the blinded eyes and I can restore people. And even though it was chaos, He showed them that with me, it can all be fixed. And that's why we believe tonight that God can fix any situation. That's why we believe tonight that God can do anything. Young people, I believe that God is in control. And so tonight I would encourage you to quit being afraid and start to put the faith that He has given to you into action. Start believing that your situation is going to work out. Because faith, it starts small. But the more that we use it, the more that we put it into practice, the more that it begins to grow and grow and grow. And then the Bible tells us that faith in God, it can move a mighty mountain. We've all been dealt a measure of faith by God. That's why little kids have such active imaginations. Because kids, maybe unknowingly, but kids like to think of a power beyond themselves. See, with childlike faith, there is no limitation. Kids are so cool because you just tell them something and they believe it. Right? The sun is purple. Until they step outside, they're going to believe you. That's just the way a child operates. The problem is us adults. And the problem is you teenagers here tonight. Because somewhere along the way, we have been programmed to question everything that comes into our life. But I want to speak to your situation tonight, and I want to tell you that God did not bring you to the place that you find yourself right now to leave you there in that pit. I said, God did not bring you here just so He could abandon you. But God brought you here for a reason. God has placed you where you are for a purpose. And if there's a purpose behind it, then you know that He has a plan. And I can assure you tonight that that plan includes Him seeing you through your storm. Come on, church, God is able tonight. And so our mindset needs to be, God, I know I don't understand it. I know, God, that maybe I can't see a way past it. But I've made up my mind that no matter what I go through, I'm going to stop questioning God. I'm going to stop worrying about what's going on. I've made up my mind that I'm going to trust You. I'm going to put my faith in You. And I'm going to believe that You'll see me through it. Because, God, I know it's not over. I know it's not over. Jesus said that if we would have faith just like the smallest of seeds. Verse 32 of our opening text, it tells us that the mustard seed is indeed the least of all seeds. But when it's grown, it becomes the greatest among herbs, and it becomes a tree. See, when it's planted, young people, it's the smallest. When we first get it, it's the smallest, but then it grows, and it becomes the largest of herbs, and it becometh a tree. See, I don't believe that anything is in the Bible on coincidence. I don't think Jesus placed anything there by accident. I believe that everything has a meaning. I believe that everything has a purpose. And tonight, the tree has a purpose for us. And so what's the purpose of a tree? When we think about it in the natural, we know that trees produce oxygen. How many know that the carbon monoxide that we breathe out when we exhale, a tree is able to take that and to pull it in and filter through it and then reproduce fresh oxygen for us to be able to breathe again? A tree can provide shade from the hot sun. It can provide cover for the rain. When you cut it down and saw it up, it provides you with timber, and if you're handy, that can eventually lead to a shelter for you. You see, young people, there's all kinds of different purposes and uses for a tree tonight in the natural. But the most significant to us, and the one that I want to focus the rest of our attention on this evening, is that trees produce fruit. Someone say fruit. See, fruit is something that you and I can eat. And what we eat, it has the ability to sustain us. And we go back to the first mention of fruit in the Bible. It can be found in the very first chapter, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Verse 12 says, "And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." See, even from creation, it was always in the plan of God for a tree to produce fruit. Jumping down to verse 29 tonight, it says, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." See, God was telling Adam and Eve that it is meat for you. The food, the fruit that the tree produces, it is food for you. It's sustenance for you. God created the tree to produce something that could nourish humanity, something that would help us to grow. And then he said that it is good. It's good for you to eat of that fruit. It is meat that I have given to you for your body's use. And then we jump into the next chapter. In chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And how many know tonight that there are some really good things in this world that we can consume and we can survive on? But if we're not careful, there's a lot of bad things, if we let our guard down, that can come into us and we can digest into our spirits. If you go to your doctor for what they call an annual checkup, I think that's kind of funny because I can't remember the last time I've been to my doctor. It's been at least 8 years. Since I've gone for my annual checkup. But you go in and you talk to your doctor, they'll tell you whether you're overweight or not, they'll tell you whether you're at the spectrum that you need to be at, they'll tell you that you need to have 3 square meals a day, that you should always try to incorporate some kind of vegetable and some kind of meat into every meal that you have, especially green vegetables, because for some reason, green vegetables are so much better for you than every other vegetable. They'll tell you that you need to lay off red meat to lower your cholesterol. That every meal you have, it should have some kind of protein included in it. It should have some kind of vegetable. It needs to have some kind of good fat, but not that bad fat, though. Don't touch anything that has trans fat in it. And that dreaded word that we all love so much, but every doctor hates. Stay away from sugar. It may not be word for word what you've heard tonight, but at some point in our lives, or maybe someone around you, we've all heard something similar to this be told to us. And the truth be told, if you want to take control of your physical health, then heed to the advice of your doctor, because it is true, if you do all of these things, you will find balance in your physical health. But to me, and I'll just be honest tonight, I told my wife on the way over that I needed to go on a diet, and she kind of looked at me like, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm somewhere in the place where you can tell that I work out, but you can also tell that I won't say no to a cookie. That's just kind of the stage I'm at right now. And I'll tell you my biggest reason for that. This may be different for you, but the biggest problem to me is that vegetables just don't taste as good as ice cream. And I thought I was going to get someone run the aisles on that one. And on top of taste, some of you young people may not know this yet because you're still living with mom and dad, but did you know that a 2-pound bag of grapes costs more than an entire package of cookies? Eating healthy is so ridiculously expensive. And it takes a lot of work to be consistent with it. It's a lot of effort to go online and to find these healthy recipes and then to meal prep for that week. You've got to go out and shop and you've got to cook everything in advance and you need to track your calories and you need to count your macros and you need to measure your protein intake. And we all live busy lives. So why would I spend my already limited time doing all of that when I know I can walk over to the cupboard in the kitchen at any given moment and I can pull out a bag of chips? Probably a bag of Doritos I've buried up there so my kids can't find. And I know it's not healthy for me, but it tastes so good. And it will get me by till I get to my next meal, right? Maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way, although I don't think so. And I'm not a physician here today. I didn't come to preach to you or to beat up on anyone over your physical wellness. But I do believe with the opportunity that I've been given to preach, and as a preacher of the gospel tonight, that I have an obligation to address your spiritual wellness. Because God makes it very clear that there are things that this world will produce. And if we as sons and daughters of God partake in them, they will kill us. They will kill us. They will ruin you as a child of God. A seed that is to be sown or a seed that is to become a tree is planted in rich soil. And then the rain falls and the sun shines and eventually that seed will take root and it will sprout up from the ground. But church, whether or not that seed will sprout, it relies solely on the elements that it's exposed to. And I know for all of our students, it's spring break. It's March break. We haven't done any schoolwork for the last week, so I don't want to pull you back into school, but this is basic biology tonight. If you've got soil and you've got sun, but you don't have any water, what's going to happen to that seed? Someone. It's going to dry out. It will not sprout. If you've got soil and you've got water, but that seed is not exposed to the heat rays of the sun, then what will happen? The seed will never sprout, let alone ever grow into anything. And with that in mind, can I tell someone tonight that what you expose yourself to matters? The people that you spend your time with, it matters. And we're going to talk more about that tomorrow morning. But the voices that you allow to speak into your life, it matters so much. The places that you go when you're not around your church family, that pastor doesn't know about, it matters. The things that we download into our spirits through endless hours of mindless scrolling, it matters tonight. I'm not against social media. I'm not against cell phones. But I believe that we waste so much time with the things that are placed in front of us. And I believe that they are placed there on purpose. Because they want to get this world distracted. They want to keep our attention away from what God is desiring to do. It's a tactic tonight. It is possible that you are here tonight and you are feeling frustrated. You've been coming for weeks wondering why you're not growing in Christ. Why you're not moving forward in your relationship with God. And if that's the way that you're feeling tonight, then I would challenge you to examine your surroundings. Because the truth of the matter is that each and every person in this place is exposing yourself to something. You are exposing your life to something. But if you're not growing in Christ, it is very possible that you're not exposing yourself to the right things. And that's as basic as I can lay it out for us tonight, young people. Because each and every person in this place, God has compared you to a tree. And your purpose as a tree is to yield fruit. That is the plan of God for every single person that is gathered together here tonight. And there's another parable in Luke chapter 13, verse 6 that I want to read tonight. The words of Jesus, it says, he spake also this parable. He said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought the fruit thereon and found none. And then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, there 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. For 3 years I have come back to this fig tree that is planted in my vineyard, looking for it to produce fruit, but I find none. And the last three words of what he says, cut it down. Jesus was saying that a tree that does not bear fruit is useless. A tree that does not bear fruit, it has no point. It has no purpose. And it is better for that tree to be cut down than for that tree to stand rooted in the ground but not produce any fruit. So we need to understand tonight that each and every one of us have been specifically designed by God to fulfill some kind of purpose in His kingdom. But I want to speak to that right now and tell you, regardless of what your personal calling may be, and regardless of the personal ministry that Jesus is calling you into, every single one of us have been called to live a life that produces fruit. It was a general conference 2022. The pastor Joel Urshan got up and preached one of the greatest messages I've ever heard in my whole life. It's titled The Fruitful Vine, and I would encourage you, it's on YouTube. You can go back and listen to it. I have multiple times in my life because he broke it down for us so plainly that everything that we do as Christians, it needs to start with the fruits of the Spirit, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. See, the tree was created to produce fruit. And you here tonight, you were created to produce fruit. And so it is vitally important that your life is a constant production of the fruits of the Spirit. And if it's not tonight, then before you leave this place, you need to take inventory. You need to stop and you need to look at what things are being poured into you that are causing you not to produce the fruits of the Spirit. We've got to reevaluate what we're allowing ourselves to be exposed to, because it was so important to Jesus. He said that it's better for a tree to be cut down. It's better for a tree to be destroyed. It's better for it to be burnt, to be killed, than for it to stand rooted in the ground but not fulfill the purpose that I've given to it. Amen. We can all stand to that. I'm going to ask the music to join me at this time. In closing tonight, I just want to say that when the Bible refers to water in the Old Testament, it's usually a type for the Spirit of God. And I want us to understand tonight that this whole church, and I understand that we come from different areas, we come from different communities, different villages, different cities tonight, but this whole church... See, I'm so thankful that when we look at the church, we kind of designate it to the people that show up on Sunday and come into the building, but that's not how God sees the church. It's the people. It's the people that are gathered together from different places that all believe the same thing. And this church tonight is a forest. It's a forest of trees. And just like the water that flowed down from Ezekiel's temple, and everywhere that the water touched as it began to flow, there were trees that would begin to sprout up that would always bear fruit. I'm going to tell you what I believe tonight. I believe it's the will of God for the exact same thing to happen here in St. John, to happen over there in St. George, to happen there in Halfville Point, to happen back home in Miramichi, to happen all over the Atlantic District. And I can assure you tonight, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, then you've got that water, young people. The water that flowed out from the temple. You've got the fire of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And so I believe tonight that whatever the Spirit of God touches through you, and whoever the Spirit of God comes in contact with through you, and wherever the Spirit of God reaches to through you, I believe tonight that trees will be planted, that trees will sprout, and trees will be established all over this district that will always bear fruit. Jesus, I don't know where your faith is at right now, young people. But I believe tonight that God wants to birth something inside of you as an individual. See, don't get me wrong. The kingdom of God and the work of the kingdom of God, it's a group effort. It takes the church. It takes everybody buying in. It takes many hands to see it done. Statistics of the world that say 20% of people do 80% of the work and 80% only do 20%, that doesn't work in the church. We can't operate the same way that the world operates. But God is calling you tonight as an individual to step out of the group and fulfill your own individual role in His kingdom. And it's possible tonight that you don't know where to start. maybe you're here and you have a desire to fulfill the will of God, but you don't have any idea where you can begin. Can I tell you tonight that it starts with the fruits? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So we've been living with God, or living for the Lord for a period of time. We seek after the gifts of the Spirit, and that's a good thing to go after. It's godly to desire Jesus to use you in that way. But we can't ever operate in the gifts of the Spirit if we're not full of the fruits. Young people, if you want to be a witness tonight, if you want to be a light that shines in a dark world, can I tell you that it starts with the fruits tonight? If you want to teach someone a Bible study, and I believe that every single person is called to teach Bible studies. You may never be called to preach from behind a pulpit, but every one of us are called to share the good news with people around us. If you want to teach a Bible study tonight, and if you want to lead someone to Jesus, but you don't know where to begin, I'll tell you tonight, it starts with the fruits. It starts with the fruits. I don't think there's a person in this place that doesn't want to see revival break out in your community in an unexplainable way. I believe that we want it. I know we want it in Mayor Mushi, and we pray for it. But in order for that to happen, young people, we need to make sure that this forest is full of trees that are constantly bearing fruit. Not just on your best day. Not just when everything is going according to plan. Not just when we wake up on the right side of the bed. Not just when we've gotten enough sleep the night before. And not even just when we feel like it. Your purpose is to always and continually produce fruit. You say tonight, Brother Neil, I know what you're saying. And I acknowledge that there are areas of my life that I need to work on. So how? How do I make sure that my life is always producing fruit? Where do I begin? If we examine what we've been reading here tonight, the trees that the Bible talks about that were always producing fruit, they had one thing in common. And that's that they were all connected to the same source of water. John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Jesus said, "I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burnt." Then in verse 7 he says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. For herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples." And very plainly put tonight, young people, if you want your life to produce fruit, then it is imperative that you make sure that you are connected to God. And I'll just throw this out here right now. Being a regular church attendee does not mean that you are connected to God. Being involved in the local church, although we are called to do so, it does not guarantee that you are connected to God. I'll take it even a step further, and I will tell you, you could hold a minister's license and still not be connected to God. We need to make sure that we are constantly seeing fruit happen, church. You can fall into one and all of these categories, and you still may never see your life produce any fruit. And when we lived for the Lord for a little period of time, sometimes we like to overcomplicate things. We start to think about the big picture and how we can go further and how we can run and how we can make up all kinds of ground in our relationship with God and our experience with Him. But it's so simple tonight. The recipe that we need to follow. We can't ever forget about the basic elements of growth. A tree, in order for it to grow, it requires water, it requires sun, and it requires soil. And to make that pertinent to us where we are right now, this tree right here in the supernatural, it requires a daily prayer life and relationship with God. It requires daily Bible reading and Bible study. And it requires a fresh touch every single day of the Spirit of God. That's the only way you will make sure that your life is producing fruit. Young people, it's the only way that you will ever grow in your relationship with Christ. It's the only way for us to stay and to be connected to God. So in closing tonight, here's what we're going to do. They're going to begin to sing and we're going to open up this altar. I challenge every single person in this place. Come up here. Find a place where you can make yourself right with God if that's what you need to do. I'm not saying that we're living sinful or whatever it might be. But I don't believe that we need to go through the motions of this youth weekend and we need to wait till Sunday to get what Jesus has designed for us. It's never the will of God that we step into His presence and leave the same way that we walked in. God's will for you tonight is to get your breakthrough. His will for you tonight is to receive your victory. If you've never spoken in tongues, His will for you tonight is to step into the calling and the purpose that He has for you. He wants to give you a gift tonight that will turn your world upside down and change your eternity.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.